So I want to apologize in advance. For some of you, you know what's happening. Varney is here. For some of you that don't, the extremely loud man is Varney. He was the youth director here and helped us plant this church. So I apologize in advance. If you are in the immediate vicinity, you are more than welcome to move to another location. Yeah. Love that you guys are here. Love that all of you are here. And we've been in an awesome series called Hold the Line. We've been talking about just the truth, God's truth, and how much we need to go to his truth and abide in his truth and live in his truth, and how we need to speak the truth to the lies that we tell ourselves, that the world tells us, and that the enemy tries to amplify. And it's been powerful. And I pray that you have been seeking God's word in your daily life, and that he has been speaking in just amazing ways in your life. Last week we wrapped up the sermon, and I went out and came back, and I just felt God impressing on me to pray for our kiddos that were in here. And I got to kind of just share a little bit about how important it is for us to pray the truth and speak the truth to our children. But I really wanted to spend some more time this week talking about that, about how we need the truth desperately, right? Like, we are grown adults. Some of us, we can put quotes around adults, right? But we are grown adults, and man, we desperately need this in our lives. We need it to guide us. We need it to teach us. We need it to show and reveal to us. And the reality is this, is if we need it that desperately, our kids need it even more. And they need us to be a people that are in this, that are living this, that are seeking this, that are speaking this in our lives, so then we can then give it to them and teach them the truth and help share the truth and help speak the truth over their lives. The reality is this, is that the world will never stop speaking lies to them. And so that means we have to be ever vigilant about speaking the truth to them for the time that we have them. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. And as I kind of dived into this week, there was a phrase that kept popping up in various different ways. And the phrase is the Shema. Anyone ever heard of the Shema? I got my wife raised her hand. So we got a few. And so I'll tell you what the Shema is. But it comes from Deuteronomy 6, verses 4. And we're gonna read the Shema right now. It'll be on the screen. You could follow along. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one, the only God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and with all your soul and with all your strength, your entire being. These words which I am commanding you today shall be written on your heart and mind. You shall teach them diligently to your children, impressing God's precepts on their minds and penetrating their hearts with his truths. And you shall speak of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk on the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up." So that's the Shema, and it goes on a little bit more after that. And so Shema is a Hebrew word, and the meaning from us, the best way that we can give it meaning in an English like definition, is just listen. But it's so much more than listening. It's listening and obeying. It's not just to hear the truth and hear the word, but it's hearing that truth and living that truth out. And this brought to mind James 1:22, and it simply says that. We don't just listen to the word. We must do what it says. We got to live it out. So we listen and we obey. So Hebrew, it's Shema. And I love the verse 4, Deuteronomy 6, 4. I found just the Hebrew for all of that. And this is what it is. It says, "Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad." It's just such a beautiful thing. And all that simply saying is that, hey, listen, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. He is the only God. And here's why this, we're going to kind of break this apart. Here's why this is so important. And why in Deuteronomy God gave this to his people, and why many of them recited it day and night, is because they had the one true God, and he was the one true God, but all surrounding them were people in other nations that believed in polytheism or polytheistic society, which means that they worshiped many gods. And so it was very important for the Israelites, as they were, you know, just journeying into the wilderness, and as God was leading them to the promised land, and even when they got to the promised land, and then from then on, that they remembered that the Lord is our God and he is the only God. Because that was the case. And there were many different people that were trying to impress on them these other gods. And the fact of the matter is it's true for us today. And while we're not, our culture is not a polytheistic society to say, there are many different things that are pulling for our attention in order to get us to worship God over the one true God. So many things. And so we could look at our society and say, oh, no, yeah, one nation under God, which that's laughable. But anyway, another time. But the reality is, man, we got to protect our hearts and our minds from that. So then it says, the Lord our God is one. And then it says, we shall love him. And how should we love him? And it goes on and it says, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. What's it saying? Love him with every fiber of your being. All of you is to love all of him. All of you is to serve all of him. Not a portion of you or a portion of your heart or a portion of your mind. All. Love the Lord your God with all of who you are. And then it goes on and it says, what should we do with his words? What do? We write. We write his words on our heart and our mind. So if you could take your pen out and just start writing on your forehead. No. But in order to do that, to write something on your heart and on your mind, it's not just one thing we read and say, oh, that was a good book. It's not just something that we go to once a week or once a month, or it's something that we are studying and that we are living. We are right practicing the Shema. We're not just hearing it and listening to it, but we're obeying it and we're living it and we're asking questions about it and we're trying to understand it. And as we understand this, we get to understand the character of God, and that helps grow our relationship together with him. And so we write the words on our heart and on our mind. And this is really what I want to talk about today. It says that we should teach them diligently. Teach these words to our children diligently. And then right after that, it says, how often should we teach them? How often should we speak them? It says at home, when you're out and about, when you lie down at night, and when you get up. So love the Lord your God with all of your being, and love the Lord your God all the time. And teach and preach and speak the truth always. The Shema is a beautifully written reminder of our walk and our relationship with the Lord through the Word. And it's one that has been passed down from generation to generation to generation. And in there, as it's challenging us, because just maybe you're like, well, I don't even have kids right now, or maybe my kids have moved out. But the reality is we are all children of God. And so whether you have children or not, the Shema is for you. Because you need to begin living this in your life. And then you can begin speaking this truth to your friends, to your family, whether they're older, whether they're cousins, or whatever it may be. So don't just put this in a box of children. I am speaking directly to parents today and talking about how important it is to speak the truth. But you, as a body of believers, are also to come alongside these children in our church to help them grow in their strength, in their walk with Jesus Christ. So just hold on to that. So it's so important, the Shema, and it's a reminder to never stop teaching our children truth. And right now, if your kiddos are over in kids ministry, they're learning the truth. On Wednesday nights at Movement, man, we've been diving into some truth, and we always dive into some truth. And so they get an hour on Sunday, an hour on Wednesday night. And so I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about the importance of what the Shema is saying, not to us as the church and how we're supposed to teach your children truth, but how you're supposed to teach your children truth. And so as a church, if your kids get 1 hour a week, that's 52 hours a year. And let's just say maybe your teenagers come twice, and we could put it to 104, but it's a small amount comparatively to you and the time that you have at home. So I kind of did the math, and I was like, okay, we have school, and then we have summer. And as I did all that, I came to this number that through all of that, you have about 3,048 hours a year. That's what you get at home to teach your children the truth. And then I said, okay, well, let's look at school and let's look at social media. And I found this stat about social media. On average, an American child from 8 to 12 years old spends about 4 hours and 44 minutes on the internet. Now, that's on average. I know some of my kids are spending more than that, and I know there are many kids who are doing more than that. So let's round that up to five times a day. So social media, they're at about 1,800 hours, and then at school, they're about 1,600 hours minus summertime. And so school and social media and maybe other outside influences have about 3,300 hours to speak whatever it wants to speak. And from what we know of the world and of culture, many of it is lies. So is that slide still up? So you see the yellow bar? That's how much time the church has to teach your kids truth. And we love it. And we're thankful that we get to do it and come alongside you as you teach them to it. Because the next bar down is you at 3,000 hours. 3,000 hours. And that's just giving you a minimal amount of time. It's not including the sleep time. It's the waking hours that you have after school. It's the time that you have during summer, 3,000. But then you have the world has even more. And so you understand what we're competing with. And it's a big deal. And we want to come alongside you and help you teach the truth, but you've got to make sure that you are listening and that you are obeying and that you are seeking this and that you are speaking this, because the world is filling our children's hearts and minds with lies. In school and online, lust, envy, oh my goodness, the comparison because of social media, constantly comparing ourselves to what someone else posted, what someone else has, what someone else is doing. It's constant all the time. There's this pursuit of the material. Again, same thing. We see what someone else has, and we want that, and we see all these ads that pop up, and we need that. And so there's pursuit of material. There's these kids are getting bullied constantly. It's all the time, and it's happening even though you don't know it's happening. And sometimes our kids are becoming bullies because they're being bullied. The world is trying to create a false identity, trying to tell them who they should be as opposed to who God made them to be. And they're constantly seeking approval. Who are they seeking approval from? It's their peers. It's the world. It's the lies. And then you add on the lies about their sexuality and about sex. Those are just a few of the broad ones. That's what the world is giving us. That's what they're getting in school. And you're like, well, my kid goes to a Christian school. Okay. Listen, my kid goes to a Christian school too. That doesn't mean they're all Christians. It's still up to us as parents to teach them. And so we have these lies, right? And we have what's going on. And then we talked about last week how we have, you know, what was it, like 20,000 to 60,000 thoughts a day, and 80% of them are negative. So take that for your kids and couple it with all of this. Are you speaking the truth to them? Because, Lord, they desperately need it. We need it as adults. And we might be able to identify it a little bit better than them. And so what that means is that they need it even more. And so we go back and we have to diligently teach our children the truth, because the enemy is relentlessly pursuing them with lies. Relentlessly. He's not going to let up. And I get it. We get tired and we get overwhelmed and work is difficult and we have all these things going on. But at the end of the day, the enemy is relentless in his pursuit. Talked about it last week. He's prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking to destroy. And he's not going to let up. And he's looking for moments of weakness. And so what that means is that we got to be diligent. No matter how tired, no matter how difficult our day was, we've got to go after it. We've got to make this a part of our lives. Now the Shema, it was taught. It was taught to children in Jewish tradition. And everything that I read, it's the moment that they could speak, they began to teach their children the Shema. And they would recite the Shema when they woke up, sometimes in the middle of the day, and when they went to sleep. Anyone ever seen The Chosen video series? So there's this video series, and it's going through Jesus' life. It's absolutely wonderful, but there was one of the episodes, it was about Jesus, and he was hanging out with these children, and I remember it when I first watched it, but then we just watched it again recently because of our group on Sunday nights, and there's a moment where Jesus has the children recite the Shema, and I just wanted to share it with you. You guys go ahead and play that video.
So tell me, do you all know how to pray the Shema?
Yes.
Oh, I would love to hear it. You lead us.
Hear Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. And it shall come to pass if you surely listen to the commandments I command you today, that you may gather in your grain your wine.
Beautiful. Very good.
So that was Jesus, if you didn't catch it. I love the compassion you see in his eyes, and I love the joy, and I can just sense that's how God looks at us as his children. And even as Jesus is looking at these children, he knows that these children have parents that taught them this, help them know this and learn this and understand this, to listen and obey this. And it's a very, very powerful thing when our kids can say something like that and not just say it, but believe it and see it in your life and have you speak these things and the goodness of God over the situations that you are dealing with. It's amazing. So I just wanted you to experience that because it's just a very powerful thing when our kids are going after the Lord. So as I was thinking about this, I was like, all right, well, maybe, you know, from the hands raised, many of you haven't heard about the Shema. Maybe you have, or you know a little bit about it, and it's a Jewish tradition. And so maybe you get into this thinking, well, that was something that the Jews used to do. Or that was something that just came out of the Old Testament, and it's not really something that we need to do today. It's not meant for us today. Well, let's jump over to the New Testament. In Matthew 22, Jesus was there, and he was talking to just people he was teaching, and a religious leader came up and asked him, hey, what's the greatest commandment? And here's how Jesus responded. Well, it says, teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? And he said to them, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And then he goes on and says the second greatest is to love your neighbor as yourself. And you begin to hear those words repeated from Deuteronomy 6. But then you keep looking through the New Testament, and I'm going to give you three more that we've already looked at through this series. John 14:21, this is Jesus. The one who has my commands and keeps them, that's the one who loves me. And when we talk about his commands, we talk about his word, we talk about the truth. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will reveal myself to him. John 8:51. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, if anyone keeps my word by living in accordance with my message, he will indeed never, ever see and experience death. I'm talking about, you know, spiritual, eternal death. John 8:31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, you are really my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so you can see, like, just in those four passages, like, does it sound familiar? Does it sound like what came out of Deuteronomy? Because again, in Matthew 22, Jesus is quoting from the Shema. And these verses in John and many other verses all throughout the New Testament, man, they find their origin all the way back to the Shema. And so the reality is that God's word, God's truth, it is vital to our everyday life. Every day, every moment. We must abide in it, and we must teach it to our children and to our families. And when we hold fast to the truth, when we hold the line on truth, it leads us and our children into experiencing the goodness of God. That's what he wants for us. I love how at the end of Deuteronomy 6, it kind of wraps it all up, and it kind of gives us a model to follow and kind of a practical way to kind of incorporate this into our lives. So I want to read Deuteronomy 6, verses 20 through 25 to you. When your sons or your children ask you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and judgments of the precepts which the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Moreover, the Lord showed great and terrible signs and wonders before our eyes against Egypt, Pharaoh and all his household. He brought us out from there in order to bring us in, to give us the land which he had sworn to give our fathers. So the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear and worship the Lord our God with awe-filled reverence and profound respect. For our God always, and so that he might preserve us alive as it is today, it will be considered righteousness for us, that is, right standing with God, if we are careful to observe all this commandment before the Lord our God, just as he commanded us. Now you can read that and you can kind of immerse yourself in the context, and he's talking to the Israelites, and he's talking about how God saved them, but you must understand that this is our story. This is the story of the Bible. This is the story of God's redemption, because each and every one of us have been slaves to sin. We've been found in bondage and in slavery, or as I said a few weeks ago, slavage, okay? If you missed that, sorry. But so this is our story, because we also were slaves to sin. And what did God do? Through Jesus, he brought us out. He offered us a way out. And there were miracles that Jesus performed. And one of the greatest miracles is Jesus' resurrection. And so God uses miracles to come against our enemy. And he brought us into the life that he promised for us. So this is our story. This is your story. This is your testimony. This is your witness. And for each of us, it's different. But at the end of the day, your testimony, your story, what God has done, it's meant to be shared. And it should be shared with your children every single day. I wonder, do your kids know the miraculous and amazing things God has done in your life? Or that God is doing in your life? Do you share those moments where God shows up and provides a financial blessing? Or the job that he led you to, or maybe the job that he removed you from? Because it was leading you down a dark path, but then he led you in another one. Do you share about the moments where God has put specific people in your life to either bring you back to him or to come alongside you and support you, encouraging you? Or do you share with them that God saved you from addiction? And I think sometimes we're like, oh, I don't want to share about those things. But man, we got to tell our kids our story. I think we also need to make sure that we are sharing with them the absolute miracle of God's creation that is all around us. But most importantly, we help them understand that the most amazing, unique, and wonderful creation of God is them. And help them understand that and know that he made them and created them and he has a purpose for them and a plan for them. And man, if they would just Shema, listen and obey, and we would teach them that, man, it would be so good. What God moments have you experienced? Are you sharing them? Are you sharing them with your children? You see, when we share our God moments, it helps our kids begin to look for them in their own lives. And that's a powerful thing. It helps them kind of shift the perspective from a negative view and the negative thoughts and saying, you know what, I see God in this, and I see that God helped me in this way. And it comes from us teaching them that. And this is what Deuteronomy 6 was talking about. Share your testimony. Share how God has saved you. Share how God has helped you and wants to continue to do that in their life. No matter if they fall, no matter if they sin, no matter if they turn their back, we keep sharing that God is good and he wants to draw them back to him. We got to share our story and our testimony. Every family is different. Every family's schedule is different. But there's one common denominator with all of our families, and that is this. Every family is called to seek the truth, to hear the truth, obey the truth, and speak the truth. Every single one of us who professes to be followers of Jesus Christ, to be made new in him, hear it, obey it, seek it, and speak it. How you accomplish this, well, that's up to you, because again, we're all different. That you accomplish this is of utmost importance. We go back to the Shema, we go back to what God calls us to and how he tells us to love him and only him and to love him with all of our being and to write these words on our heart and to diligently teach our kids. It is of utmost importance. He gave us these things to protect us. He gave us his word. He gave us everything that we have to help protect us and guide us and to keep us, to draw us back to him and turning away from sin. Proverbs 22:6. It's the classic, you better teach your kids about Jesus. This is what it says. Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he grows older, he will not abandon it. And this is the truth, because we are meant to give them the foundational truths of the gospel. We are meant to show them who Jesus is and tell them about what Jesus did and what God did in our lives. But at the end of the day, your kid's salvation, you don't have control over that. Only God does. And God will call them to him. And God will transform them. You can't. I think that's hard for parents. You can't transform your child's life. Only God can. But you do everything in your power to help them see God, to know God, to hear God, to seek God. And when they get to that moment where they have turned to the world and the world's lies, they can know that they can always go back to the truth of the gospel. And so that's what we got to do. We got to train them up. And maybe for a time, they'll live it out. And it's like, oh, look at that. They're good. And then they go, boop, right? We've been there. We've probably done that. But we still have that foundational truth that we were given, that God gave us. And we may get here. But if we remember those truths, we can take those truths and we can climb up that mountain to get to the victory that God has for us. But we got to have that foundation first. We got to train them up. The world is teaching your kids lies. The enemy is trying to infiltrate their mind with lies. What are your words and actions teaching them? What are your words and actions telling them? Are you teaching them the truth? Because the truth you seek and the truth you speak, that's the truth that your children will see and hear and repeat. Sadly, the same is true of lies. What they see, what they hear, they will repeat. And so we've got to combat those lies with truth diligently, as the Shema tells us. It's our duty as parents to teach the truth to our children diligently. This isn't a role that we've just been given by the world. It's like, okay, get married, have kids, and make sure that they're good. It's not something that we do because it's morally correct that we help them in their lives. No, what you got to understand that this is a command from God. This is the Shema. This is listen and obey. This is help your kids know that I am their Lord and I am the only Lord. I am the only way. I am the only truth. And seek me with all your heart and all your soul and write this word. This is what God tells us to do for us, but for our children and for our families. We do that because God's word tells us to. But we also do this because we've experienced this in our lives. And because we know that there is only one way, there is only one truth, there's only one life that can set us free. And that is through the word, through the truth, who is Jesus Christ. Because of that, because we have been saved, because we have been rescued, because we have been redeemed, because time and time again, when we turn away, God draws us back and he welcomes us with open arms and he gives us grace. We have to be diligent in teaching our kids this. And I think sometimes we've got to be vulnerable and honest with our kids. Because I think we kind of put ourselves on this pedestal and we say, well, yeah, mom and dad are perfect. Because we try to protect their hearts and let them know that, oh, well, either we don't want you doing the things that we did, right? Preach. I don't want you doing this, so I'm not going to tell you what I did. But maybe in telling them what you did, where it led you, and how God redeemed you from it, they can learn from that. And so we got to make sure that we're doing this. It's imperative that we help our kids, Shema, to listen and to obey the word as we speak it, as we read it, and as we live it in our own lives. I'm going to ask that you guys would bow your heads, close your eyes. Here's what I want to do at this time. I have a couple of questions for you. And again, maybe you're like, I don't have kids, I don't have children, but just please don't allow that fact to tune out what the Spirit is trying to speak to you right now. Here's my questions for you. No matter if you're a parent or not, is the Lord God your one and only God? I mean, really think about that. Does God come first in your life? Do you love him with all of your being, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your heart? Does he come first? Because that's pretty important. That's the first part of it. He is our God. He is our one God, and we will love him and love him above all else. And so maybe today for you, and I'm gonna do a moment of commitment in just a minute, but maybe today for you, today's message is just that there is something in your life that has taken the spot that God belongs in. It could be a relationship. It could be money. It could be a job. It could be a dream or a goal you're going after. It could be any amount of things, because our world tries to get us to worship created things other than the Creator, right? And so What is that thing that you're putting before God? Maybe today, take a moment to surrender that over to Him. And if that's you, you're saying, yeah, I want my kids to love God and know that He's the one and true God, and I want them to love Him with all their heart, with all their soul, and I want them to write their words. Listen, if you're not doing it, they're not going to do it. And so maybe that's just the start right there. It's recognizing your idols, your other gods, and putting God first, and helping your kids know that God comes first. Twofold commitment today. Here's what I want to do. Today, maybe it's to begin to live out the Shema. And it's not, I'm not saying today that you have to, you know, recite it when you wake up and when you go to bed, but really just taking these words that, and knowing that the Lord your God is the one God, and that you love Him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and that you write His words upon your heart and on your mind. This is what I'm talking about, to begin to do that, begin to dive into His word every single day. So that's commitment number one. And then maybe today you're like, yes, I'm doing that, but I wanna strengthen that. I wanna do that more. I feel like I'm lacking, and I feel like I need to commit to doing this more so that I can raise my kids with the truth. So that's commitment number one. Number two would begin diligently teaching this to your kids. So I know I have everyone's head bowed and eyes closed, and but what I want to do, because I believe Christ calls us to action. He calls us to move. He calls us to go. He calls us to leave comfort. He calls us to step out into the unknown. And so I want to invite you to come up and pray with me. And I'm going to do it in three waves. First, if you're ready to begin living out the Shema, to listen and obey, to love and to follow, to abide in truth. If you're ready to begin doing that in your life, going to His word every single day, man, I'd love for you to come and join me up front as a commitment of wanting to do that. As a part of that commitment, let's say today you're like, yes, I'm doing that, but I want to strengthen that commitment. I want to make a commitment today right here and now to seek God out in His word daily so that I can teach His word to my kids. Come forward right now as a commitment. And if you're ready to diligently teach your kids the truth and the word of truth in their life, you want to commit to that right here and right now, come forward so that I can pray for you. If you're online joining us, I would encourage you, if you're wanting to commit to one of these truths, just go ahead and type it in. I'm committing to begin the Shema. I'm going to commit to continuing and to strengthen my walk. Or I'm wanting today to begin to diligently teach my children the ways of God's word and that He is the one and true God. Man, go ahead and type that. I'll be praying for you as well. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay right here because I don't want to fall. Thank you, guys. This is a big deal. And there will be struggles, as you know. And there will be days when you miss and you get down on yourself, or you mess up, you make a mistake, and you maybe speak some non-truth to your kids because you're in a moment of weakness. Can I just tell you, it's okay. Don't let those bad moments define you. Let all the other moments where you sought God out define you. Define who you're becoming as a parent. Define who you want your kids to grow up in Christ. And be okay with saying to your kids, hey, I messed up and I'm sorry. Because when you do that, man, it helps them understand God's love. That, hey, mom and dad need God's love just as much as I do. And they mess up too. And okay, so now I can relate with them a little bit more. And the things that they're teaching me is good for me. It's a big deal. And it's difficult. And the world, just like the world lies to our kids, it lies to us. It'll tell us we don't have time. It'll tell us we're too tired. It'll tell us that there are other priorities that we should put in place of God, but we got to make His word and seeking His word the top priority in our lives. It's in seeking this truth and knowing this truth and obeying this truth and speaking this truth that we begin to diligently teach our children. I want to pray with you guys. God, right now, I thank You just for this bold commitment, for each of us to stand and say, God, I want to commit more of my time, of my heart, of my mind, of my soul, and of my strength to knowing you. God, I want to write your word on my heart and on my mind so that I can live this and I can speak this and I can allow my children to witness you in and through me. God, I pray for boldness and I pray for strength and I pray for discernment and I pray for guidance and I pray that you would multiply our time first and foremost with you so that we would have that time with you, but also with our children. And that we would make seeking your word together a part of our daily lives. God, help us remember that there will be days that we miss. There will be days that we don't get it 100% right. But you give us new days, and your mercies are new every day. And you know, man, that you give us grace and redemption, and that's something that we want our kids to understand and know in their lives as well. God, be with each parent here. Be with each adult here. God, help us to, man, just have your spirit reveal the truth to us. God, give us a knowledge of your truth so that when our kids ask, when our family ask, when our friends ask, God, we can just speak your truth to them, over them, and begin to combat the lies that the world is throwing at them. God, thank you for your time. Thank you for your word today. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Now, here's what I want to do. One more thing. I thought it would be really cool to recite the Shema together, and I would encourage the rest of you as well. They're going to put it up on the screen, and let's just go. Here we go. Ready? Say it with me. Hear, Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These words, which I am commanding you today, shall be on your heart. And you shall repeat them diligently to your sons and speak of them when you sit in your house and when you walk on the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Let that be what we commit to today. Thank you guys so much.